With us right now, Susan Lemke is the Transit Director for Stevens Point Transit, and Janet Zander, the ADRC Director, a big project involving transportation. It looks like you're going to try to put the two together, even though you have two separate successful entities. You're going to do a little coordinating. What brought this on, Janet?
The fact that we have more requests for rides than any of us could meet, given our current set of funding, and the fact that we recognize that bringing these two sets of funding together generates enough revenue for us to really start looking at that list of unmet needs really made us say we really have to get to the table. And Susan's been having this on her wish list for a really long time. and the opportunity is there now.
We do know that the county does a lot of fixed bus routes in and out of the city. The city has some limitations based on bus routes and also for the paratransit distance from a bus route. This is really going to allow both of you to serve a very large area and just take the appropriate vehicle, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's going to be a very unique program. As far as I know, no one else in the state has attempted to bring county and city services together completely. So things will look a little different for Stevens Point Transit, but that's a good thing because there are a lot of gaps in services, not only in Stevens Point, but in the rural areas, maybe especially in the rural areas. And singly, we're not able to address those needs. But when we join our forces and we join our funding sources, we will be able to accomplish a lot more together and hopefully fill some of those gaps in services and make a difference in individuals' lives, get them where they need to go when they can't now.
Now, Janet, you have to work a lot with the rural areas, but also the volunteer drivers. Just a couple of years ago, big changes from Medicaid happened where you ended up with a broker with LogistiCare. They're on the way out. MTM's on the way in. Family Care had a lot of their people under MA funding. Does this plan take that into consideration, and will it mess up your numbers when you have to go back and renegotiate?
This plan does take that into consideration in that I think we're prepared to continue to expand what the volunteer drivers have to offer and would be prepared to recruit the additional resources needed. We're actually exploring all sorts of possible expansions, including working with Community Care of Central Wisconsin to meet some transportation needs beyond what we're doing for them now. You know, we're assisting them with some medical assistance transportation now, but we could do a whole lot more for them if we had the additional capabilities. So I think we are hoping to take this another step, a notch up.
One thing that has affected the city's services are peak times and demands, certain times of certain days where your fleet is just maxed out. Mm-hmm. This might give the county a chance to help with that overflow, wouldn't it?
Yes, it will. We are addressing, or we're hoping to address, the fact that there is a demand for service earlier in the morning and later in the evening. That's one of the unmet needs that we might be able to address. You know, we have quite a list of unmet needs, and I'm not sure that the money, even though it's a generous amount, will stretch to that extent. But that is certainly one of the things that has been identified as a need, in addition to more frequent service, and that's another thing that people are asking for, just more frequent service. And 1 hour routes are difficult for some folks to be able to access their jobs or doctor appointments or wherever. It's a long ride for them. So, you know, that's something that we would like to look at. Again, it's not necessarily a guarantee that we'll be able to fix that problem, but we'll be in a better position to than we are now.
People with those early morning dialysis trips will love to hear that.
Yes, they will. And paratransit services, our door-to-door service, is another service that we're really needing to look at increasing service for that. You know, again, the demand is exceeding our staffing levels and our vehicles and, you know, limitations on that. So, you know, we need to find a way to resolve these issues. And by coordinating, we may be able to do that.
In a presentation to the city committee today, Janet, you'd mentioned that a lot of the costs and monies coming in are about the same now versus what changes, but combining your resources helps you get some additional state and federal dollars. Can you explain that?
Sure. The 85-20 state and 53-11 federal funds allow us to capitalize on 60.5% operating costs. So by pooling our operating costs in with the city's operating cost and pulling down that additional 60.5%, we really leverage some additional local dollars that then can be brought into the system and pull and create, as you heard the mayor say, almost $700,000 worth of service expansion or expansion of some type. Now that's going to, we're looking at some of those dollars to create the call center, to staff the call center, to do some of the increased maintenance work we're talking about doing in-house. I mean, there's a lot of things that have to be funded out of that. It's not all going into service, but that's a lot of additional dollars coming into the community to help us address some of those needs. And when I look at how our funding sources come to us, 8521 is elderly and disabled transportation. We're restricted by our user type. We're restricted oftentimes by the priority type of service. When we pool with the city transit's funding, we no longer have to pay so much attention to who the rider is and where they need to go and what type of service it's going to be. So from a rural standpoint, it really opens up transportation services for a whole lot of additional folks. So pulling down that additional federal money, federal and state money, is going to be the only answer to do that, because there's not going to be city and county levy dollars to do that.
If you have your own call center and someone is MA eligible or under family care MA eligible, would they contact you first or would they contact MTM?
They need to contact MTM.
Yes. At the present moment, they would contact the MA broker, MTM. Now, we know MTM is going around the state meeting with counties and transportation providers and having conversations about that. So potentially, might that change in the future? Might we be one of the contracted service providers? Certainly, that's a possibility. But at the present time, we're not going to be a barrier to somebody who just needs to get the service they need. And we can't change the state's rules, which are you have to call the broker. So our goal is to get people the service as quick as they can get it, not slow them down. And at the so that means they'll have to call there for right now.
Common billing. Mm-hmm. I can just see the benefits there, because half the people, twice as much getting done. And who wants to tackle that first?
I think that will probably end up with us. So, yeah, we are prepared to do that. We're looking, obviously, again, we'll need to increase some staff capacity at some point to be able to accommodate all of that. But that is something that, you know, needs to be done. You have to do what you have to do, and that may be one of the painful parts of the program, but reality is that, yes, we will coordinate that, and it will be very efficient because it is coordinated.
It'll be in one house.
And at the present time, both of our systems, in many cases, are serving the same individual. So the bills that are going out, we're tracking authorizations for somebody. We're doing billing, claiming for the same funding sources for the same person. It just is not an efficient system. And we know that. This is an opportunity to minimize the impact that billing has taken over. And, I mean, the administrative costs of operating transportation have increased exponentially in the last decade.
You just touched on one of the things I remember very well, and that is keeping track of authorizations. If they're getting more than one service provider, you don't know if you are out of authorizations.
That's correct. That is correct. You know how many rides they've been authorized for a month, but you don't know who else might be providing some of those rides. So it's a very tricky thing, and even keeping up on the effective dates and all of those kinds of things. And that's just some of the various funding sources that we have. So
you're looking at perhaps getting approval from city and county, and maybe going when?
We would like to implement the program in January 2014. So that's a very ambitious goal, but I think that we can do it.
I think we were originally looking at a July resolution for July County Board and Common Council meeting. I think by the time that some of the committee work gets done and the city attorney and Corporation Council have an opportunity to finesse those agreements. It potentially could be August before that happens. But then it's got to start working its way through committees in order for those resolutions to get to the council and the county board. So it's a very aggressive timeline. We do hope that the joint dispatch model will give us something to use as a template to move that forward. I know that they've done a great deal of work. Susan and her staff have done a tremendous amount of work on this project already, and I think it's a matter of now getting everybody to the table to continue to move that forward. And it's an aggressive timeline, but we're hoping that that light at the end of that tunnel is going to keep everybody moving at that pace.
And it is an advantage in the, you know, it is an advantage for both city and county to do this as quickly as we can, because if we don't get our applications in for 2014, it will be 2015 before we can start the program, and that will be a whole year of lost savings.
But for now, people that are your riders should do as they do right now and wait for the news, right?
Yes, they should. And I think that they're really going to enjoy this if and when it happens. I guess I should be optimistic and just say when it happens. But I think it's going to simplify the process so much for so many people. And if we do receive calls for private services or other providers that the ride really needs to be their ride, we will certainly reference them to whom they need to speak with. It's not a situation where we're trying to monopolize anything or not include other providers. It's just the opposite. We are completely open to helping individuals get where they need to go most cost effectively and with the system that will work best for them. So that's our goal. It's all about our customers.
The day the call center gets activated, the customers will be the first to know, and there will be one very big celebration. So this community will definitely know where to call when that happens.